Argument is Bowles versus General Motors. Mr. Roush.
May it please the court. Rick Rao from Harrison and Moberly out of Indianapolis. We're here on the grant of a motion for summary judgment, which I know you guys review de novo. This court should analyze this case by putting itself into the shoes of Congress and then examining Mr. Bold's facts. Once you've done that, you need to ask yourselves, would Congress have wanted to protect Lawrence Bowles, given the particular facts of his case? Would Congress wanted? Congress has already stated they want to protect veterans. Congress has already stated that they want to protect veterans with service-related disabilities.
Yeah, the problem is, you don't really have any basis in any of these statutory texts for your position, do you?
Well, yes, I believe we do, Your Honor. We have the provision from 38 U.S.C. 2021A, which is the provision from VERA, which says, specifically it says, Mr. Bowles possessed reemployment rights if he's relieved from training and service. Now, what's training and service? Well, we examine the specific language of VERA, the Veterans Reemployment Rights Act, doesn't really define that term, service. So, going under the United States Supreme Court's affirmance of the specific language from Monroe v. Standard Oil, we can look at different Veterans Rights Acts, and we can use that language. So when we do that, then we look at the language from the Veterans Benefits Act for the definition of what active duty was, what service is. And when we do that, it says, the Veterans Benefits Right Act says, any period of active duty for training during which the individual was disabled. So
What's the date of his discharge?
He was discharged in 1969. But his active duty continues during any time when he was disabled.
But he wasn't disabled after his discharge, was he? I mean, immediately following his discharge.
Well, he was disabled from a service-related disability that he contracted during his service.
But it wasn't... He was able to work in 69.
Correct. He worked for until 1977.
All right. So he wasn't disabled immediately after that. Now we're going back. We're skipping over, and that's where the problem is. There's this gap. He was not in the ready reserves. He wasn't standby reserves. He wasn't anything. He was discharged. He had done his military duty.
That's absolutely correct. There's no doubt that there was a gap. But remember, and that the point on this whole deal is that the Congress said that we wish to minimize the disruption in the lives of folks who are called to service during the time of the need of this country. Mr. Bowles was called to service. His life was disrupted when he was called. His life was disrupted when he was sent to Vietnam to fight. His life was disrupted when he came back and started suffering from this disease.
That gets to Judge Posner's question, but there's no statutory language, and I'm not sure that reference to the act you referred to brings him within the coverage.
Because here's the problem. This Uniform Services Act, I mean, hasn't Congress clearly stated that it would not apply to reemployment claims from before October 13th, 1994? That's another big problem you have.
Except that we're going... That's right. except so that's why we look at the language of the Veterans Reemployment Rights Act, which was the predecessor to the USERRA. That's exactly why we look at that language, and that's exactly why we analyze 2021A. We look directly at that language.
But why didn't Congress include service-related disability leave in the definition of, quote, service in the uniformed services?
Well, it actually, our argument is, and I believe it's the correct one, when Congress enacted VERA, the Veterans Reemployment Rights Act, it did include service-related disabilities in the definition of active duty. So that's how you have to look at this. It's not Mr. Bold's fault that this service-related disability didn't manifest itself for 8 years. It's not his fault. What if he would have come back? What if Mr. Bold's or any veteran would have come back and been reemployed by General Motors or anybody, and then a month later had to be put on a disability retirement? General Motors' argument is 1 month after that, when he's now recovered, they don't have to reemploy him.
Well, I agree with you that the Veterans Benefits Act applies to governmental benefits available to injured service members. But why should we apply that definition to VERA and USERRA?
That's a good question. And the answer is because VERA doesn't define the term active duty or service. So we look to other acts that were enacted concurrent to that act, to the VERA. And the Veterans Benefits Act clearly defines active duty as including time from service-related disabilities. Again, you have to think about how was he affected by his service and then subsequent disability. Congress wants to protect those called to serve. And this is a time when when you liberally apply the statutes, which the United States Supreme Court has said we have to do, and Congress has said we have to do, you have to liberally interpret these statutes. And when you liberally interpret them, which is what Judge Springman did not do in her decision, is that makes this his active duty would have included the time of his service-related disability. The moment he was recovered from his disability, he requested reemployment with General Motors. And General Motors refused to reemploy him. There's no doubt about those facts. But why wouldn't the time when he was on a service-related disability provide him with reemployment rights, especially in light of what the Veterans Benefits Act says? The statutes are to be liberally construed in favor of Mr. Bowles. There's any number of different scenarios that I can think of where someone comes back. What about someone who comes back with post-traumatic stress disorder? Again, works for a year or two, can't get over the suffering that he's going through, takes a year off. That's a service-related disability. Why should he not have reemployment rights when he recovers from the suffering that he's going through? Mr. Bowles had huge lesions on his legs from some kind of exposure to Agent Orange, or he doesn't even know what it was. It was in Vietnam. When he recovers from that, why should he not be reemployed? And this is a veteran who put his life on the line for his country.
He was reemployed ultimately, wasn't he not?
He was reemployed once, but when he had the service-related disability, we believe that the statutes, when construed liberally for the benefit of the veteran, he should have been reemployed a second time, or a first time, depending on how you look at it. I mean, it's technically a second time, but why doesn't he keep that particular right, especially when you liberally construe these statutes in favor of the veteran?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Roush. Ms. Butler?
May it please the Court, Kay Butler appearing on behalf of the defendant, Appley General Motors Corporation. The district court properly granted summary judgment to the defendant in this case because there was no statutory language under either VIRA or USERRA to protect the plaintiff in this case. It's true that Congress sought to protect veterans who were returning from active military duty or training. It's not true that they intended to protect them in every possible scenario or situation.
But you agree that Congress intended for us to liberally construe the benefits in favor of service members.
Correct. But it is also the plaintiff's burden to show that they're entitled to relief under the Act. In this case, as the Court noted, there's no language in either Act that protects him. If you look at VIRA, which was the Act in effect during his 12-year disability retirement, it covers individuals who are returning from military service upon their return from, quote, such service or training. That's not defined anywhere in the Act. The case which the plaintiff relies upon, the Monroe case, is inapplicable because in that case the court was looking at two different provisions of VIRA.
I mean, suppose he was wounded and he comes back and he seems to be okay and he's discharged and goes back to work, and a week later, there's some, the wound separates or something, and some terrible disability ensues. So would you be making the same argument that however brief a period without symptoms breaks the link between service and disability?
Under the statute as it's written, yes. It does not provide for any protection if there's a break in service. And it's particularly true in this case where there was an 8-year break in service because the plaintiff was promptly reemployed when he returned in 1969 from military service. He worked for 8 years and then commenced a 12-year disability leave. But in Monroe case, they were interpreting two different...
There might be a lot of cases where it takes a while to figure out that you are disabled. You know, people. We have Social Security cases in which we've held that the fact that a person works is not necessarily inconsistent with the person's being disabled, because some people force themselves to work when they really can't. So are you treating work as irrefutable proof of non-disability?
No, Your Honor, but the language which the plaintiff is attempting to rely upon from the Veterans Benefit Act refers to situations where an individual incurred or became, where the individual became disabled during the training or active military service. In this case, he did not become disabled during the active military service or training because he returned and was able to work for 8 years. So although he may have had a lingering illness, allegedly resulting from exposure to Agent Orange, there's no evidence that he was disabled, and in fact, the evidence shows otherwise.
So you're saying under no scenario, if there's a delayed reaction, would a veteran be entitled to benefits? I mean, that's your bottom line.
Correct. But the law is written out, and there's no congressional legislative history indicating differently. And, in fact, there's no case law from other circuits or anywhere indicating differently as well. Congress did enact certain provisions where, for example, if the employee is hospitalized upon his release, he has, depending on which act you're under, either up to a year or longer. So there is protections. But as the law is written currently and as it was written back during the disability retirement, there was no protection for this type of situation. The court also properly relied upon the USERRA, even though it wasn't in effect at a time during the disability retirement, because that applies to the pension benefits, which did not accrue until he retired. However, it necessarily relates back to the right to be reemployed between 1977 and 1989. Even In that situation, the service in uniformed services is defined. It means performance of duty in uniformed services, and it expressly includes active duty for training, initial active duty for training, inactive duty training, National Guard duty, period required for a return to fitness exam, or funeral duty. It does not define service in the uniformed services to include any type of medical leave or disability. For those reasons, Your Honors, we believe the court correctly granted summary judgment to defendant's favor, unless the court has any questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Butler. Mr. Roush, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Two.
Must have used up one of them. We won't count every second, though.
So. Just a couple follow-ups. First of all, in the scenario that you presented, Judge Posner, does this court really believe that Congress would not have wanted to protect the veteran of which you spoke? Congress specifically allowed this court and all the courts to construe these statutes in the best favor of the veteran. I know I've said that over and over, but that's the most important part of this case. And, you know, counsel says, no matter what, that's GM stance, no matter what, once we've reemployed them, they have absolutely no reemployment rights after that, no matter what else happens, no matter what happens in the life of a veteran, a man that's, or a woman that's put his or herself and their life on the line, once they're reemployed, that's it, no matter what. There's no facts that can be argued, GM contends, that would allow them to be reemployed a second time. That's their argument.
Okay, well, thank you both, counsel. Next case for argument is